God is my refuge. Psalm 46 is a wonderful testimony to the truth that we can hide in the Lord and that He truly can intercede for us. There are sometimes, as we have already heard in both the testimony of Kim and of Hector, and I know as I look out and as I see many of you and you have so graciously shared with me your testimonies, there have been times in your life when a cataclysmic event has taken place. It has been a life-defining moment. And I'm not talking just spiritual things. I'm talking about even the birth of your children, or perhaps, as in my case, the birth of my grandchild. Or, yes, in my case, when I truly understood just how much an enemy of God I was. And my friends, having a military background and understanding how enemies are treated from a military perspective, and understanding that God is called the Lord of hosts, in other words, He is the commander of every single angelic host, I know how they deal with enemies. And therefore, I did not want to go one further day living as an enemy of God. And yet there was nothing I could do to take away that enmity. The only thing that I could possibly call on was God Himself to forgive me for being that desperate enemy of His. So there are some cataclysmic events that take place in one's life. This also happened in the nation of Israel. I want to read for us Psalm 46. It's not a very long psalm. And then I want to go back and I want to show us how this all transpired and give us some background as to why the psalmist has written in the way that he has. And keep in mind the testimony is of Hector and of Kim. God, verse 1, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountain should slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Now, let me give you some background. The author of this psalm is not David. I know David was the main songster of ancient Israel. But the author of this psalm, Psalm 46, it's actually ascribed to the sons of Korach. Now the sons of Korach, you need to remember what happened in the wilderness wanderings of Israel. Korach, who was a priest in the order of Aaron, he led Israel into a rebellion against Moses. And Korach and many of his household were those that were swallowed up by that earthquake event that happened in the wilderness. Yet, the sons of Korach, as we know, they actually separated themselves from the rebellion of their father, and they were ascribed as being godly, and they went on to serve the Lord generation after generation after generation. And so you find that this is probably one of the more later Psalms that is written, long after King David, long after King Solomon. And so the sons of Korah have written this psalm. And they refer to something that is not immediately apparent to us who are of a Gentile background. They reveal something about Israel and the nation and of two cataclysmic events that happened in that nation. The first is, we know from history that around about 775 BC, there was a tremendous earthquake that wrought that region. It brought great havoc. Do you want to know that it was so much a cataclysmic event of that region that actually it was referred to as an event? People measured. You know how some people say, well, where were you on 9/11? And what were you doing on 9/11? And some people will even say, those of us who are older, where were you when John F. Kennedy got shot? Well, not so much in this country. But this was one of those statements. You want to see it in reality? Keep your finger here and turn with me to the book of Amos. Okay? That's just a little bit further. It's of the minor prophets. You come to the book of Amos. And let me read for you in Amos chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Amos, who was among the sheep herders from Tekoa, which he envisioned in visions concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. Look at this. 2 years before the earthquake. That's exactly the earthquake that the writer of Psalm 46 is measuring it by. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Folks, when an Israelite read those words, he knew that was that earthquake. A cataclysmic event happened in the life of Israel. And the author of Psalm 46 wants Israel to remember that even in the midst of a cataclysmic event like an earthquake, when the earth changes and the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, the author of Psalm 46 wants his readers to remember God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The word refuge in the Hebrew here, my friends, is a word that means shelter from a storm. Not just a passing rain shower. Shelter from a storm. A storm that shakes the very foundations of the house in which you are sheltering. That's the description that is used here. This is where you run to and the walls do not even tremble. This is where you closet yourself and you are completely safe. That's the picture that's painted here. And the word trouble means tight place. In other words, there's no escape. It's kind of like if some of you have been watching the rugby, and particularly just before we came this afternoon, I put on the TV and I was watching Samoa play against Argentina. Both of these teams have different strengths, but boy, those Samoans, these are giants. And you could see, even as much as the Argentinians are big men, they saw these Samoans coming, and boy, they chucked the ball away very quickly. Because they recognized they were in a tight place. They're going to get hit, and all that you can do is just close your eyes. It's coming. Ah, it got me. That's the word that's used here. There's no escape in your own strength. You see, the writer of Hebrews is saying, we must run to the rock that does not crumble when the earth around us moves. When that cataclysmic event happens in your life through circumstances which are beyond your control, run to the rock that doesn't crumble. Hide yourself there. He is your refuge. He is your strength. But then there is another cataclysmic event that the writer of Psalm 46 wants his readers to recognize and understand. It is a man-made cataclysmic event. The words of verses 4 through to the end of verse 7 relate directly back to the time of King Hezekiah and the time when he was king and the Assyrian army was sweeping down through the land of Israel. In fact, it had already conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, and now it was closeted right in the Judean hillside, ready to come in and sack Jerusalem. And the psalmist writes, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted." The Lord of hosts, a reference to God being the Lord of all army. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. You say, "Pastor Tiny, how does that relate to King Hezekiah?" If you know the history of Israel, there is one thing that King Hezekiah did, which was an immense blessing for the city of Jerusalem. He took the Gihon Spring and he rechanneled the Gihon Spring into the city of Jerusalem, hidden so much so that a besieging army would never know that Jerusalem, ensconced within its walls, as much as they laid siege to Jerusalem, Jerusalem would always have a fresh supply of water. You see, to us Gentiles who don't know the history of Israel, it kind of doesn't mean too much. But when you understand the testimony of King Hezekiah as is given us in 1 and 2 Kings, and when you get to see that Hezekiah was stricken with an illness, so much so that the prophet Isaiah came to his bedside and said to him, "I have a message from the Lord for you. Get ready, make everything right, because you're going to die." And then he walked out. And King Hezekiah turned and faced the wall and he prayed to God. And God heard that prayer. Not to deliver him from the illness and sickness that had come, but God heard that prayer and he saw, and that's a whole other sermon I could bring another time. But briefly speaking, God gave Hezekiah the answer to prayer that he asked. And why? King Hezekiah had an infant son who was destined to be king of Israel. And King Hezekiah knew that the Assyrian army was approaching and he wanted time to put some fortifications in place so that his son would be able to rule in relative peace and be delivered from the problems that were posed by the Assyrian army. And God gave him 15 years added to his life to go and do this. You see, the writer of Psalm 46 is desiring that his readers would remember the two cataclysmic events that came. One was of nature. It was beyond their control. But he reminded them, you can flee to the rock that does not crumble. The other was a man-made event. And he reminded them as well. And he says to them in verse 8, even if it's man-made, here's what happens. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He, God, makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. You see, it's a reminder. Even when man-made cataclysmic events pose as a great threat against you, like Hector going to prison, like all of his debtors lined up to have their chunk of his meat. God is the one who will deliver. It's not that he's going to take away that trial. It's as we have seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God will take you through the trial, and you will grow in grace, and you will grow in faith, and in your love for Him, and for one another, and for the lost. That's how God works it out. But the psalmist of Psalm 46, he's desiring that his readers would know. Events will mark you. Let the Lord use those events for His glory and for your good. You see, it's why he says, as a closing argument, as it were, as a closing exhortation, cease striving. In the New King James, it's written, be still. But it actually means, cease striving. Stop fretting. Stop trying to work things out in your own strength. Why? Cease striving and know that I am God. That one who is that rock which will never crumble. That one who has promised, you come to me, I will never cast you out. I will take you, I will put you into the rock. And as he said to Moses, I will cover you there with my hand. Cease striving and know that I am God. Why? Because I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You see, when God chooses to be exalted, and it is His desire, and deservedly so, that He would be exalted, He is the creator of all that we see. He is the sustainer of all that we see. He is the one who has fashioned us and made us, and we are perfectly made. And yet He's the one who lovingly, as you heard in the testimony of Hector, He lovingly knows that we have failed Him so many times. As Robert said in his opening prayer, yet He's the one who lovingly says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For what purpose? That He would be exalted. The testimony of Hector and of Kim has come about such that God has, by His grace, and as His intended plan, drawn unto Himself and saved the souls of another 13 people who were in a dire place in their life. For it was not well with their soul. Now it is. And that's why he says here, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. You see, the message that the psalmist wants to convey to the enemies of God, here's the message. Stop fighting. You cannot beat the omnipotent God. Stop fighting. You cannot beat the all-knowing God. Stop fighting. You cannot beat the all-present God. He is all-powerful, omnipotent. To His people, the message is this. Cease from trying to make your own rescue. Surrender your heart. Surrender your life. Because God is our help when our world crumbles. God is our help when man-made calamity comes and faces us. God is our help when even our world is in calamity. This is the testimony that the psalmist wanted God's people to hide in their heart. So may it be that as you go from this place, you would be rejoicing, just as we have heard the testimony of Kim and of Hector. God is doing great things. He's already done great things, and He will yet do greater things. Why? Because of His love for us, and because of who He is.